Happy St. Patrick's Day, and we are delighted to have the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister of Ireland, and the Kenny on a day, on a weekend actually, first of all you're very welcome, but on a weekend where you were not in Ireland to be there to clap the loudest for Ireland rugby, now champions, rugby, winning the rugby. Mayo, God help us, did very well yesterday, and as we speak today, Castlevar is doing their almighty best to make a mark. You're welcome.
Thank you, thank you, Adrian. Well, obviously, I don't control the dates of international rugby matches, and as it happened to fall, Ireland competed for the championship in the Six Nations in the Stade de France in Paris yesterday, and obviously had a great victory and held on despite ferocious pressure in the last couple of minutes. That's a big win. Mayo beat Cork in the league. A good win, 4 goals and 12 points, which is a big score. And tomorrow for the All-Ireland Club Football Championships at senior level, Castlebar Mitchell's, my hometown club, play St. Vincent's of Dublin, the Dublin champions. And that's going to be a pretty torrid affair, I would think, with a big number turning up. You know, club championships engender ferocious passion among players and supporters, and it really epitomises what it is about community and the power of community, and therefore the allegiance of people to a single objective. It's, if you like, paralleled by the country, the way the people have responded to the challenge that we faced in the last 3 years.
You know,
and where we are now.
You've had, of course, a number of meetings and very significant meetings in Washington, and obviously with the president. But I suppose one that is of great interest to many people in the United States, obviously, is the issue of immigration. And from what we hear, you did not mince your words in address.
Well, it's traditional for the Taoiseach of the day for many years now to come to Washington for the St. Patrick's Day festivities, because the Congress is not sitting next week. The St. Patrick's Day Speaker's Lunch was held on the Friday. So that meant I came out last Wednesday, spent all day Thursday in Washington dealing with business of one sort or another. And then on Friday, I had a meeting with the Vice President at his residence, then a meeting in the Oval Office with the President, then the Speaker's Lunch on Capitol Hill with Speaker Boehner and everybody else included, and afterwards another round of Irish-American business interests. Now, I think it's important that, given the circumstances where we find ourselves, and given the electoral cycle that's building up, there is an opportunity for immigration to be dealt with very clearly here. And it's not for me to dictate, obviously, to American legislators. I cannot do that, nor would it be my wish to do so. But I do think it's very important, as you well know from your experience, that all of these 50,000 undocumented Irish should be brought out of the shadows and should be allowed to have an opportunity to become legalised in this country, to pay their taxes and pay their way and raise their families and have their careers, and be able to travel over and back and around the world as they wish, as they might wish, and come back here because it's their wish to live here. I think that not only from an Irish perspective, but from an American perspective, the country would be so much better off having that psychological pressure lifted off people, that they don't have to live in a twilight zone, that they can find a way to pay their way to help the American economy, to build up this country and to regenerate it, as has always happened over the last 2.5 centuries. Now, I spoke to Speaker Boehner. I commended him for his courageous stance on this and for his outspoken stance on it, Adrian. And I share the same view as the President and the Vice President. So hopefully, when the primaries are over now, and that before the elections in November, that something might be done about this. I think it would be a great response from legislators to deal with an issue which is of great distress in our people, but also for many others.
Absolutely. And we're not looking for anything that a great number of others are doing, except that we have a great history, and we have a great...
As you well know, Adrian, from your long experience in this, in 1965, when the Immigration Act was introduced here after President Kennedy went, Ireland actually became the unintended casualties of that, mm-hmm. in that for a country with so much contact with America, with our cultural, musical, art, religious, business, union, political connections, we've actually come out of this one of the worst in the sense of the extent of legitimacy that our people were able to achieve. We used to have up to 17,000 visas originally per year. That dropped way off. So here's a chance now to do something about it. And, you know, in a peculiar way, I brought my children down to the Vietnam Wall in Washington yesterday. And the reason I did that was to give young people a perspective on what war is about. I remember being at school in Castlebar in 1968 when Father Shannon called to the school to say that the brother of one of the students had been shot dead in Vietnam. And that man came to America and became legitimized here and fought for this country and died for this country. Now, all of our people are quite prepared to fight for the economy of this country here if they're legitimized to be able to do so. And the country becomes stronger and better, and so do the people. And that's that's a challenge for the legislators. And I hope they can rise to that challenge.
And they're close enough, I think, to make this point.
Like in Ireland over the last couple of years, we have given citizenship to over 27,000 people from around the world, the Filipinos and from other different countries. And far from it being sort of a covered-in session, we make a particular celebration of this, where they go down to the convention centre, they're sworn in by a judge, they have their music there, and they all stand up and sing the national anthem. Whereas before, they used to have to go into court in the middle of assault cases and everything else and say, I'm here to seek citizenship. So now it's a special thing. We give 27,000 of those out. Only 50,000 documented in the United States. So we're a very small part of a large problem here. But I do hope from my discussions now with the President, the Vice President, Speaker Boehner, Republican Paul Ryan, and the Chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Bill Goodlatte, that we can make serious progress here. I really do.
Let's talk for a minute about the Irish economy and the rip-roaring success, even ahead of expectation, of where it's at right now.
Well, first of all, Adrian, we want to compliment the people here because it's their to their credit that this has happened. They've put up with a series of very great challenges, probably the most economically challenged since the foundation of the state. Let me give you a few facts, if I may. In June 2011, interest rates for Ireland, when the country went to borrow on the open markets, were 15%. Last Monday, the National Treasury Management Agency offered 10-year money at 2.9%, which is extraordinary. We've had 22 consecutive months of a fall in the live register. That means numbers of unemployed dropping. Now, admittedly, there was immigration involved in that, but there were 61,000 new jobs created in Ireland last year. 40% of those came from companies that are less than five years old. If you translated that into an American context, it would be like the United States creating 5 million jobs in a year, obviously with that much smaller. So confidence is returning. We've set out our medium-term plan, 2% growth this year, 2.5% next year, 3% the year after. We'll eliminate our budget deficit because the future, Evian, is about creating jobs. And that's why this link with the United States is so important. The business, software, IT, sciences, trade and commerce, both ways across the Atlantic. Let me say something else. We got the mandate from the European Union leaders and countries last year to open the trade talks between Europe and the United States. This will create a couple of million jobs on either side of the Atlantic. It will set down the regulations for trade for the next 50 years. When we got that from our European colleagues under the presidency of Ireland, chaired by myself indeed as Taoiseach, the G8 summit took place in Fermanagh very shortly afterwards. And President Obama was delighted to hear that news. And he said, okay, let's start these talks. And they did within 2 weeks. There are five more sessions fixed before the summer. I hope we can make real progress here too. Because this is about jobs. It's about men and women having the chance to get up in the morning, go to work, have a job, raise their families, contribute to society, and that's good for everybody. So we've come a long way in a short time.
Right.
Still too much unemployment, Adrian. Still too high level of public debt. Still too much private debt. Still too many in mortgage distress. But we're making headway.
Making headway. And from day one, you've never pretended that it was anything other than what it is turning out to be. We can say with all of the progress, people in Ireland are still suffering. They're still...
Yes.
They're part of the
yes.
recovery.
I'll give you examples. Yeah. We've had, you know, negative equity, people unable to pay their mortgages, lose a job, emigration, all of these. 100,000 people in mortgage distress. Now, we restructured the banks, got rid of some banks, have two pillar banks. And we've set targets for the banks, along with the central bank, that every person who's in mortgage or mortgage distress has to be offered a sustainable solution by the end of this year. That means a write-down in some cases by banks. It means split mortgages in others. It means where a business was thriving, but they got sucked into the property market, that you break these two things and allow the business to continue to thrive and make an arrangement to meet the property distress mortgage at the end of the day. That's a big psychological pressure taken off people. Now, banks are responding, but they're not responding fast enough. Yeah. We need more investment by the banks into the real economy. Second thing, we're working, Adrian, in a lot of different areas to make credit available to small and medium enterprises. Banks have to lend money to make profit. Now, I do notice a number of American multinationals are taking out commercial banking licenses themselves to lend money at their interest rates to companies that use their facilities. I also notice the motor industry, in many cases, is financing the motoring area as distinct from major banks. Three other things that have arisen here. One, we brought in the Silicon Valley banking entity. They are making arrangements for investment in Ireland in the IT sector and other areas. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we brought in the Chinese Investment Corporation. They've put up $100 million for particular investments. Thirdly, we're working with the Germans with what they call their AAA credit rated bank, KfW, to make another allocation of money available for small and medium enterprises. This helps the situation to have more money available, therefore people get more confidence to borrow and to invest. And the final thing is this, under the Financial Ombudsman's Credit Review Office, if you now decide to borrow or look for an investment of up to $3 million, we have allowed the Credit Review Office to check that for validity against the banks turning it down. So let's say Company X is turned down for $1 million of a loan. And they can now go to the Credit Review Office where that applies up to $3 million. And they can overrule the banks and say, this is a sound business proposition. You must lend money to this person.
Fantastic.
So all that's happening. And on top of that now, we're going to focus on the indigenous economy this year, the construction sector. We've brought in a situation for grants for energy efficiency, where registered contractors apply to get out of the black market and get that moving. The stimulus package of $2.5 billion there for roads. You'll be interested to know that Gort Choom is going to be signed very shortly. Bundles of schools, the Grange Gorman University Complex, Technological University in Dublin. All these things are moving. So that's all part of COVID. I'm not saying on your radio show that we still don't face challenges. We do. But we've come a hell of a long way in a short time, and the credit goes entirely to the people.
Tisha, first of all, it is great news, and you bring glad tidings. What I'd like to do is to thank you on behalf of the people of New York in particular for your being here on this 253rd anniversary of the greatest parade and the biggest parade in the world, but 253 years. just to look and to see that that is a history, that is something.
It is.
And that you are here.
Yeah.
And
it goes beyond just statistics, because it is all those cultural links. And the way this has evolved, when you think that the Great Wall of China, Christ the Redeemer in Brazil, the Sydney Opera House, the London Eye, the Eiffel Tower, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, all these things have gone green. Here we have America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And it's important that we recognize both the part that Ireland has played in the evolution of this country, but also the way America has played its part in the continuance of Ireland and its people. These two countries are indelibly and intertwined here, and we want to work on that and build those foundations for the next generation.
All the more reason that we are so happy that you are here.
Thank you, Adrian.